us pray. Father, Lord God, we just give you thanks for this day. Lord God, be with us. Thoughts that we form in our minds, meditation of our hearts, the words of my lips, that all of these may be pleasing and acceptable in your sight as our rock and our redeemer. In your name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Okay, today we're talking about responding to God's call, that God has called each and every one of us. And how do we answer that call? Do we answer that call? Thinking about this, I thought about caller ID. Do any of you remember when there was a time when there was no such thing as caller ID? Okay, yeah, see, most of us, everybody does remember that. Okay, a little bit about a caller ID. Caller ID was invented sometime in the 1970s, but it was not made available to the general public until sometime in the 1980s. Okay, and it started out as an option. You could either add it on or not, but now I think it's you cannot even get rid of it, that it's a standard feature to know who is calling you before you answer your phone. Okay, caller ID has been taken one step further with doorbell ID, so you can see who is at your door before you answer the door. If you're home, it's kind of hard not to answer the door, especially if your cars are there, but just like not answering your phone, you have the choice, you have the decision to make to respond or not, to answer that door or not. But what if there's somebody on the other side of the door that you really don't want to talk to, or for danger or safety's sake, doorbell ID, a very good thing. But with caller ID, you see who is calling you. So do you answer or not? You have to respond one way or the other. Make a decision. Do I answer? Do I let it go to voicemail? Do I reject the call? Your decision to be made. Answer or not. Do I want to get into a conversation, even if it's someone I do not mind talking to? But what if it's a conversation you really don't want to have? What if the caller ID says ID blocked? Then what? How do you respond to that? Okay, what happens if it is God calling you, asking you, inviting you to do something? Do you yourself have caller ID that you know when it is God calling you? Do you have that internal being with you, presence of God with you, that you know when it is God calling you? That's what we're talking about. Do we respond to God when God calls? And how do we live out this life of faith? How do we respond as a follower of Christ? Do we respond as a follower of Christ? How do we live into God's invitation that he has sent to us in and through his son, Jesus Christ, on the cross? Okay, Amanda and I celebrated her birthday a couple of weeks ago. And we'll celebrate my birthday soon. And then we have a wedding anniversary coming up very soon. I do not tell you that expecting anything about that. But Amanda was talking to one of our daughters Saturday morning, and Amanda mentioned that we had somebody coming over to work on the floors at the parsonage, and our daughter let us know, well, hey, y'all need to rethink that, because Michael, our son, was on his way from Lafayette, and they were all coming to our house for a surprise to celebrate our birthdays and our anniversary. So do you interrupt an activity, a celebration, anything, to answer a call from God? Do you ever say no to people? Someone asks you to do something, part of a project, their project, and they just want you to take part in it? Or someone asks you to do something for them personally, especially your husband or wife? When was the last time you told your husband or wife no? Okay, answer this. Have you ever told your husband or wife no, or do you know better than to tell them no? If you go by the parsonage at night or when it's dark, you look in the front window and there's about a 3-foot Christmas tree already with lights on it. That is Amanda's project. It started out as a 3-foot pre-lit Christmas tree, and then she found a 3-foot white Christmas tree but was not pre-lit. The lights run by batteries, and I put the batteries in the thing for her. Then she said to me, okay, Aaron, put the lights on the tree. And I said, nope, not doing. That's your project, not mine. You put the lights on. And so far, there's been no repercussions on it, but I'm still waiting on that. Okay, have you ever accepted an invitation? And once you get into whatever it is, you wish you had said no. If we accept an invitation from someone or not, part of that decision has to do with your rhythm of life. Okay, I call this rhythm of life. All of us have that. It's a rhythm of life. What time do you get up? What time do you go to bed? Do you have something you do on a daily, weekly, monthly basis? Something written into your rhythm of life, your schedule, that you are not willing to interrupt or miss. Amanda knows I get up in the morning, I go to the gym, I come back, and I have prayer time. And not to interrupt me during that time. But that's, I really don't have to worry about that, because when I'm doing those things, she's still asleep. Okay, but talking about this, I want to look at Moses for a minute. Moses, born of a Hebrew woman, supposed to be killed at birth as all male Hebrew babies were. But instead of his mother, instead of killing him, she put him into a basket and put him floating in the river. Pharaoh's daughter finds Moses and actually ends up giving him to his mother to nurse and care for. His mother, an invitation accepted to care for her baby. Moses ends up being adopted into the royal family and all the perks that go along with that. But Moses evidently knows that he is not Egyptian, that he is Hebrew. Moses witnesses the treatment of Hebrew slaves by Egyptian slave owners, and one day he cannot take it any longer, and he kills an Egyptian. Again, an invitation accepted. He could have intervened and stopped the beating, and he did, but he did it on a real high scale, killing the Egyptian. Moses runs to Midian, and there he meets the love of his life. Another invitation accepted. He settles into a normal rhythm of life, shepherding for his father-in-law. Then one day he's out in the wilderness with his sheep, and he sees this bush on fire, but it's not burning. An invitation extended from God. Scripture has it, Moses says, I must go see what's going on here. So Moses goes to see what's going on with the bush. An invitation accepted on Moses' part. God extending the invitation, getting Moses' attention. Question there, what does it take for God to get your attention? Again, do you know when is God calling you? And Scripture has that God calls Moses, and Scripture has that God said Moses' name twice, that God had to get his attention. So again, what does it take for God to get your attention? If God really wants to get your attention, does he have to call your name twice or just once? From book of Exodus, and the Lord said, I have seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, have heard their outcry because of the taskmasters, for I am aware of their sufferings, and now come, and I will send you to Pharaoh, so you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. I will send you to Pharaoh. An invitation again. The invitation for Moses to go back to the very people he had fled from. The people that if he went back would hold his life in their hands if he accepts the invitation. Moses makes excuse after excuse trying not to accept. But God tells Moses, and he tells us, certainly I will be with you. Another thing, do you know that God is with you? So Moses accepts the invitation and off he goes. This is the life of a follower of Christ. This is responding to God's calling. And we see this again and again in Scripture. We see this again in the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah gets an invitation from God. God calls Jeremiah, and even with caller ID, Jeremiah answers. And God tells him, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Words I think that everybody knows. Jeremiah answers with an excuse not to accept God's invitation, and God responds. Then I said, O Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak because I am a youth. But the Lord said to Jeremiah, do not say I am a youth, because everywhere I send you, you shall go, and all that I command you, you shall speak. So God calls Jeremiah, and reluctantly Jeremiah responds. Then the Lord stretched out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have appointed you this day over the nations and over the kingdoms, to root out and to tear down, to destroy and to overthrow, and to build and to plant. Jesus had told the disciples, Do not worry about what you will say if you are arrested, that the Holy Spirit will be with you and to tell you what you will say. Here, God telling Jeremiah, Do not worry about what you will say. I've put my words in your mouth. When you go, when God calls and you answer and you go, you're not going alone. Just as God told Moses, Certainly I'll be with you. God is with you. Faith, trust, believe. So Jeremiah accepts the invitation. He goes and begins a life in rhythm with God. God calling, extending an invitation, Jeremiah responding. Then Jeremiah lives life speaking for God, and his life is known for those words, I have formed you in the womb. But his life is also known as these words from chapter 29, Jeremiah. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for prosperity and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Are you seeking God? Are you searching for God? Are you seeking him halfway? Are you searching for him with all your heart? Jeremiah is known as a prophet that tells the world, if you believe, if you trust God's plans for you, there's hope of a future of peace and a future with hope. Then you have Jonah, same thing, except Jonah does not give any excuses. He just packs his bags, takes off, and leaves town. It takes Jonah trapped in the belly of a whale for 3 days before he comes to his senses. And it's the same thing again and again throughout Scripture. Isaiah, David, Rahab. God calls, they respond with excuses, but one way or the other they go. God calls, and we answer, or do we? I think most of us know all of these stories, but especially this one, our passage today from the Gospel of Luke, when God calls a young woman named Mary, from the first chapter of Luke. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was very perplexed at this statement and was pondering what kind of greeting this was. And the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and give birth to a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. But Mary said to the angel, How will this be, since I am a virgin? Mary's response, How can this be? And God responds, God will come upon you in the power of the Holy Spirit, and nothing is impossible with God. And then Mary responds, Behold, the Lord's bondservant, may it be done to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. And then Mary lives a life of rhythm, of call and response. And Mary lives to be the very best person that she could be. The person, the very best of what she was created to be. Mary, just like all the prophets, but especially Mary, if her mind, if her heart, if her soul had not been in tune with God, how would she have responded? Are you in tune with God, seeking God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Mary sings this song that magnifies the Lord and magnifies her soul. And it's clear that Mary becomes the very best version of the person that she was created to be in the image of God. When you hear that story of Mary, do you realize if her ears were not in tune with God, with the rhythm of God? Had her soul not been open to God, if her eyes had been focused on this world, and if she had not responded to God the way she did, even reluctantly, where would we be today? Our response to God, what we do, if we respond, sometimes has effects that we will never see or know, but God knows. Discipleship, following Jesus Christ, is very simple. God calls, we respond, and the outcome may be in ways we can never even imagine. God called Mary, the most least unlikely of the whole bunch, an unwed woman in an out-of-the-way town, the lowest of the low, and her response, her life produced the most beautiful song in all of Scripture. God chose Mary, and God has chosen each and every one of you. How are you responding? How might God be calling you? Where might God be leading you or sending you? Who is God calling you to be or to become? I think He wants each and every one of us to become the very best of what we were created to be. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Are you seeking God with all your heart? Are you calling upon God? Are you praying to God? Mary, the least of the least, called by God. All of these, all these prophets, they were all the least likely to be called. It seems for God to use you, you need to be the wrong person, the wrong place, the wrong time. We need to be unlikely. Now, I don't want anybody to leave here and just go out sinning, saying, okay, I'm going to be the least unsuspecting, unlikely person that God chooses. But look at these people. Moses was a murderer. Mary was an unwed mother, single mom. Jeremiah was just a boy. Jacob, he was deceitful. Paul was a persecutor of the church. David was the youngest, the runt of the litter. The first disciples were fishermen, tax collectors, or zealots. All of these, the wrong people, the wrong person, the wrong place, the wrong time, none of these were likely leaders or disciples, and yet God called each of them and all of them. Discipleship, following Jesus, does not come from ambition. Discipleship does not come from drive. Discipleship does not come from money. Discipleship does not come from possessions. Discipleship starts with God's invitation, God calling, and our answering. Our involvement is simply here to hear God calling, to respond and to live into the rhythm of life that God is calling us. John 15, Jesus tells the disciples, "You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you that you will go and bear fruit." God has chosen each and every one of us here. God has chosen this church to go and bear fruit. Jesus said, "You are my witnesses. Go and make disciples." From the book of Matthew, as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and his brother Andrew, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of people." God, Jesus, calls these men, and he talks to them in a way that they could understand. "I'm going to make you fish for people." Someone once said it this way: "Follow me, farmers, and I will make you plant seeds of faith. Follow me, bankers, and I will make you the bank for God's kingdom. Follow me, builders, and I will make you builders of God's kingdom. Follow me, shopkeepers, and I will make you keepers of God's shop. Follow me, teachers, and I will make you teachers of God's kingdom. Cooks, bakers, candlestick makers, follow me. Husbands and wives, children, family, friends, neighbors, follow me, and I will make you family to people everywhere you go. Answer my call, change the world." God comes and speaks to us where we are in order that we might respond and redirect our purpose in life, or interrupt our rhythm of life to glorify God, to magnify our Lord and Savior, and we in turn will be made into the very best of what we were created to be. A man named Dallas Willard said, "Being a disciple is whatever you do wherever you are, at work, at school. Do it in such a way to glorify God. In biblical language, do it in the name of and by the grace of Jesus Christ." Start to close with this story. There was a young man, very young. His family, his parents were not church people, not really God people. But his grandfather was. His grandfather would take the young man to church every Sunday. One Sunday, they were sitting in church before church started, and they were looking at all the stained glass windows. And the young man asked his grandfather, Grandfather, who are all those people? So his grandfather was telling him about all the disciples that he was calling saints, explaining to him to who each and every one of them were. After church, the grandfather brings his grandson home. When he gets home, the little boy's dad thought he was going to have some fun with the little boy, prodding him about what he learned in church today and make fun of what he learned. So he asked him, what'd you learn in church today? He said, well, I learned about Jesus. I said, that's all? You didn't learn anything else? Little boy sat there and thought for a minute. And he said, well, I learned about saints. Saints. What are saints? The little boy thought for a little bit more, thinking about the windows, looking up at the windows. He looked at his dad and said, saints are people that the light shines through. Saints are people that the light shines through. Today is All Saints Sunday. The people that have come and gone before us, the people that God's light has shone through. But you don't have to wait till then for God's light to shine through you. We can be saints right where we are today, living saints. So I ask this question, is the light of Christ shining through you? Is the light of Christ shining through us, the church? What happens when you have a church living out that calling, the light of God shining through them? God has called each and every one of us individually and as his body. And as God has called us, Rainbow Methodist Church, to be the living body of Christ, to let the light shine through us, to be the very best of what we were created to be, with God's light shining through us. Amen. Let us pray. Father, Lord Jesus, again, we just give you thanks for this day. Lord God, may we respond to your call this day and every day. And Lord God, you are calling us all the time. But Lord God, may we respond to you. Take us, Father, Lord Jesus. Take us and send us where you want us to go. And may we go wherever we go. May your Son's light shine through us to glorify him and you, Father, Son, Spirit. In your name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.